Linda, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. I'll get there in a minute. I'm going to read some verses before we get there. And we're glad you're here tonight. And let's get right into the Word of God. As I was beginning to pray and study for this lesson, this message tonight, I considered many different passages, but the Lord kept drawing me back to this one in 1 Kings chapter 8. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I want to read some verses for you, and these are very well-known verses. But I hope you've understood the psalm service tonight. All the psalms were about His name. And I picked those out on purpose because I'm going to preach about His name tonight. But I want to give you these. Psalms 8:1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who hast set Thy glory above the heavens. Psalm 135:13 says, Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and Thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. Isaiah 63:16 says, Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Jeremiah says in chapter 10, verse 6, For as much as there is none like unto Thee, O Lord, Thou art great, and Thy name is great in might. Then we jump to the New Testament. We see in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven. Amen. Given among men whereby we must be saved. I like that verse because it says that's the only name you're going to get saved by. Then in Philippians 2:9 it says, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, notice this, and given Him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, I promise you, this world one day will bow. At the name of Jesus, you came to know Him as your Savior. What a name is given to Jesus. What a name is giving whenever we say God. You can say Jesus in this world and the world listens. They may not be happy, but they know the name Jesus. Tonight in our text in 1 Kings chapter 8, I want you to notice what's going on. And of course, the temple has been completed after they've been waiting 480 years. Israel came in and took over the promised land. In 480 years they had been in the promised land without a temple. And now, of course, Solomon is going to build this temple in about 7 years. And we'll see that David, or you see in this story, that God did not allow David to build the temple for the fact of sin that entered into David's life. And God said, No, David, you're not going to build it. I'll give you the plans. You can make the preparations, but your son... And we'll see that here in a little bit. Matter of fact, I'll give you this in 2 Samuel 7:13. God said this about David's seed. He said, He shall build an house for My name, and I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever. And we know that Solomon here has come to the point where he's going to dedicate. He's giving a dedication sermon, speaking to the people. And speaking what the Lord had wanted him to do in building this temple, this house to the Lord. And so we'll pick up the story in verse 16, if you will. And we'll see that it says in verse 16, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house. Now notice this, this is the important part because this is said about 12 times in this chapter talking about His name. It says that My name might be therein, but I chose David to be over My people Israel. And it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto My name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. But nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house. And he says to David, he says, you're not going to build it. That must have been disappointing to David. You know what would have been disappointing? Think about Moses. 40 years with the children of Israel, hearing wah, wah, all the murmurs and complaining. And he gets to the promised land. God says, no, it's not going to happen with you. You're not going to cross over Jordan. It's going to be another man. It's going to raise up. And of course, we know it's Joshua. But notice this, what he says here. He says, Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. Now verse 20, he says, And the Lord hath performed his word
that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt." I'll preach tonight on this subject, and you can give it a couple of different titles. You could say it's a place for His name. God's looking for a place for His name. But I basically want to preach on this subject, endorsement. God's endorsement. And I'll give you some things here in a moment. But again, 480 years the children of Israel have lived and have worshipped and have brought their sacrifices into tabernacles, which are temporary. They put them up. They take it down. They put it up. They set it down. They would go to one place to the other. But now they're going to have a permanent place of worship. And God says, "I'm looking for a place to put my name." God said, "I'm looking for a place to put my name." I looked up the word endorsement because I'm not the smartest guy in the world, nor in this room, nor behind this pulpit. But y'all could laugh right there. Humor me a little bit. Endorsement means approval, but I like this one. I got this right out of Webster's. It says, the placing of one's signature. Wow, think about that. Here's what God was saying as He looked down upon Israel, as He looked at David, and He said, "No, I can't do it now, but when Solomon comes, I can put my signature on this house and on these people." I was reading a story today of Gabby Douglas. Most of you, if you watched the Olympics, I have not. I would rather watch grass grow, but amen. But the story of Gabby Douglas, Olympic gold medalist, she must have been great, amen. If you like Olympics, you like my wife. But I was noticing today that she has an endorsement deal with Kellogg's Corn Flakes. Now, of course, Wheaties is upset, right? Because the Olympic gold medalist is always supposed to be on the Wheaties box. Well, Kellogg's Corn Flakes made a deal with her, and they said this today as I was reading the article. It said she will make from $1 to $3 million a year just for her endorsement of this product. Wow. For a box of cereal. Amen. Brother Joyce, wouldn't it be great if they let preachers be on boxes of cereal? Don't we look like we at least eat the cereal? This little Gabby, I saw a picture of her. She's never had a bowl of cereal a day in her life. She looks like that mic, that stand right there. Amen? I'm thinking, why they want to put somebody on a box of cereal that ain't never ate cereal? They put me on there. I could be a good spokesman. I'd take $100,000 a year. Amen? I'd be a cheap face for them, but nobody would eat cornflakes anymore. Amen? Could you imagine waking up with me on your box? I'd be a good diet program. Amen? Just put my picture on all your stuff. You'd be like, "I'm good, honey. I don't think I want any cornflakes today." Amen. But I noticed that God Himself is not looking to put His name or His signature on a cereal box. But God was looking for a people and a place to put His name. And by the way, He's still doing that today. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I want you to notice, if you will, in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, you know the chapter, or should, 1 Chronicles chapter 7. And it gives us the story that we're reading over here in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Gives us a recap of the story we're reading now. But so many times we just read verse 14, "If my people which are called by my name." All right, we read that verse, but we sometimes don't get the context. Now remember that the temple is just being built. The dedication is about to go about, and these are the scriptures that the Lord says to Solomon. Okay? Or Solomon says to the people. Now notice what he says in we'll start in verse 11. It says, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house, he prosperously effected." Now notice verse 12. "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice.
if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send the pestilence among my people. Now notice what he says, verse 14 says, if my people, which are called by what? My name. That's the whole key to this verse, my friends. God is not talking to America. God is talking to His people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. God says, I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now verse 15 says, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attentive unto their prayers. That is made where? In this place. Now see, God says to these people, now if you read like I do, I read verse 14 and I read verse 15 and I think they go together. Because here's what God says, if my people, which are called by my name, notice what he says, in the prayers that are made where? In this place. God says he's going to put his name on a people, but notice verse 16. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, now notice this, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. God says, I have a people that are called by my name, and I have a place that is called by my name. Tonight, I want to give you this about an endorsement. Here's, you say, well, what does God endorse? I'll give you three things tonight, and we'll be done. Number one, He endorsed a chosen place. A chosen place. Go over to 2 Chronicles 33 now, if you will. 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 7. I want you to notice how this was a chosen place that God chose. By the way, when God looked at the temple, you know, let me say this. This will be good. Is that when Solomon built the temple, it was beautiful. If you read it was all overlaid with gold. I mean, it was great. But here's the thing. Is that that temple that was built was just a building without the glory of God that came into it. By the way, this church is just a building. Amen. It's the people that make it God's house. Because why? Because, and I'll get to this in a little bit, I'm just jumping ahead, but we are the temple of the Holy Spirit today. But know this, is that, I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm not going to do it. Verse 7 says, in 2 Chronicles 33, and he says, I set carven images, or image the idols which he hath made in the house of God, or God hath said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem. Now notice this. Now God is just really hammering them right here. He says, and talking about in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes. He said, will I put my name when? Forever. He said, I chose this place. And of course, he's scolding them. He's telling them, this is the place that I have chosen, and this is the place I want to put my name. By the way, I believe tonight that God has chosen you tonight to put His name upon and endorse your life. He has chosen you to be a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. In John chapter 15, verse 16 and 17, if you read those, and on down to verse 19, he talks about, you didn't choose me, I chose you. By the way, there was not a day in your life without the wooing and without the Word of God wooing you and without the Father pulling you that you said, oh, I think I'll go with God. It was the Holy Spirit that drew you. It's the Word of God that drew you. It's the things of God that drew us, and He chose us. Matter of fact, I believe God chose us for the foundation of the world. You know why? Because He chose His Son. When God sent His Son to die on the cross, He said, I'm choosing you. Now, here's the thing. You have to choose Him. You have to accept Him. You have to accept His grace and His mercy. You have to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe when Jesus was on the cross, God was saying to us, I'm choosing you. I'm choosing me, a people, a chosen place. Number two, I want you to go back to our text first, if you will, and I'll show you that He wants to endorse not only a chosen place, but a clean place. If you study any about the temple or about the tabernacle, especially about the temple, you'll understand about the holies of holies and about the whole place, but especially the holy place, the most holy place that is described in the Bible, that if a priest went in filthy, dirty with sin in his life, he was struck dead immediately. Why? Because God said that this most holy place is a place that has to remain clean. There can't be filth in there. And I believe if you'll look in verse 59 of chapter 8 of 1 Kings, you'll see some things here. Chapter 8 and verse 59, you'll see that the Bible says, "And let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require." Now notice this, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord God, that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Then he said, "Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as it at this day." The Lord said, "I want you to come before the Lord with a perfect heart, with a clean heart, making sure." Now, in these days, they would have had to make the sacrifices. They would have had to do these things. But thanks God tonight that we are clean through Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all our sins. And matter of fact, He'll cleanse you tonight so you can be a clean place for God to say, "I'll put my name there." I believe not only is it a chosen place or a clean place, but I believe it's a consecrated place. That word consecrated just simply means to set apart. Now, if you go back to verse 3, I want you to notice something. In chapter 9, I want you to go back, if you will, to verse 3. Oh, sorry. Chapter 9, verse 3. Chapter 9, verse 3. The Bible says, chapter 9, verse 3. It says, "And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have," now notice this, "hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eye and my heart shall be there perpetually." Now notice in verse 7, skip over to verse 7. He said, "Then will I cut off Israel out of the land," which he was talking about if you serve other gods, if you worship them. He says, "I'll cut you off in this of this house," he says, "which I have hallowed for my name and will cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among the people." He said, this is a not only a holy place, this is not only a clean place, but he said it's a consecrated. If you look up that word hallow, you'll notice that in your Strong's or wherever you look it up, it means consecrated. That word hallowed means to consecrate, it means set apart. And God said, this house is set apart. Matter of fact, hey, listen, I believe that when you look at the temple, if you look at any of the old drawings of where the temple was, that it was a beautiful place. It was a place that when people walked by, they said, "Hey, that's the house of God." I believe that's the way the church ought to be. Amen. This ought to not be known as the golf club. It ought to not be known as the social club. And when people drive by on 156 here in Hassett, they ought to say, "Hey, there's Heritage Baptist Church, the house of God." I could say a lot there, but I won't. But I do know in Matthew chapter 6, if you read the model prayer, the Bible says this. He says in verse 9, he said, "Our Father which art in heaven," what? "Hallowed be thy name." What is he talking about? He says his name is consecrated, it's set apart. When you say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you say the name of God, Jehovah, Savior, whatever, that is a set apart name. Why? Because there is no other name whereby we must be saved. There is no other name. Jesus Christ has a name like none other. So many people play and toy with the name of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friends, be careful. He's a holy name. It's a hallowed name. The temple was set apart from all other places. When people were in the marketplace, they were in the marketplace. When people were in the mall, they're in the mall. You're not in the church. Amen. Unless you're in a storefront, then sometimes it has to be vice versa. Amen. Remember a church that started in a funeral home? That was a living place to have a church. Amen? It's hard to separate the two. Amen? Yeah, hard to... Anyway, sometimes it feels like a funeral home in here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I do want to read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you will. You know the verse, but I'll read it for you real quick. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says this, verse 19. Verse 19 of chapter 6. 2 Corinthians. That ain't right. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That ain't right either. Where in the world am I supposed to be? I've been known to do that a few times. Nope, that is right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if I just get on the right page. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and which ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God says you now are the temple. In the New Testament, we move from the Old Testament of a building and of a place where God, matter of fact, you say, was it a chosen place? Yes, it was. If you read in the first part of chapter 8, the Bible says that the glory of God came down and it filled the house where the priests couldn't even see. They had to get out of there because of the glory of God that filled that place. And in the Old Testament, that was the way of God saying, this is my house. This is where I have my dwelling. This is where I endorse. This is what I endorse. But when we come over to the New Testament, God says, you're the house of God. You're the temple of God. And the way that we know that God is in our life is because we know we have the Holy Spirit living within us. But now listen to me. Just because you're saved don't necessarily mean God endorses you out so much. Now, He endorses you before the Father. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, right? But I believe this. I believe that the way that we can see in somebody's life, if Christ is endorsing them, is the glory of God will be in their life. It's not how beautiful you can sing. It's not how good you can preach. It's not how good you can teach a lesson. It's how much glory God is showing through your life. Because you are the temple of God. You know, I was looking at Charles down here. He's wearing a beautiful, beautiful outfit tonight. Did he say outfit for men? His suit. Because he's wearing the colors of our country, amen, that protect us. Every time I see that uniform, I see that flag and those emblems on those fatigues, I see men who are standing on lines who are protecting our freedom, amen? But I do know this, is that not everybody does the American government endorse. There were some things I'm sure Brother Charles had to go through in order to receive those patches and to receive that outfit that he has on tonight. Why? Because they just don't. I guarantee you, I couldn't go tonight, Brother Cox, the Marine, amen. And I couldn't go to the Marine office and say, look, I want to be a Marine. Would y'all give me one of those suits and a gun? They'd be like, no. Amen. Why? Because they have to prove me before they endorse me. Can I tell you tonight, sometimes God has to prove us before He can endorse us. You know, can I just use this? I know he's used for an example a lot, but I was thinking this. Why is Dr. Henderson such a great man? I believe it's this. I believe God endorses him. I believe God has His signature on Brother Henderson's life. Why? Because I believe that Brother Henderson has proved himself faithful. I believe God's put him through the times of seeing if he's worthy and he's proven himself and God has endorsed him. I believe this with all my heart. I believe Brother Henderson could stand behind the pulpit and other men such as Brother Davidson and other men that we know, they could just stand behind the pulpit and you just know that God's with them. You see God's writing all over them. God in the Old Testament was wanting to write His name upon the temple. And God did. And God was honored for the first few years. But as you read on, read the book of 2 Chronicles. He uses this word about His house later on. He says, you have polluted it. Just do a word study on the word pollute. Just about every time the word pollute is mentioned in the Bible, He's not talking about the ozone layer. Amen. Global warming. That's not in there. Global warming is in the Bible. Amen. It's called hell. Hell hath enlarged herself. Amen. That's global warming. Tell that to Al Gore. Amen. But I do know this, is that when God speaks of pollution in the Bible, He's usually speaking about His name or His house being polluted. His people or His place being polluted. And I believe that's where America is today. We have polluted the house of God. We have polluted our temples. We have polluted the name of God. And that's why people don't want to come to church anymore. That's why people look at a church and say, that's silly to even go down there because they're no different than I am. We must raise up the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ and let the world know, hey, I understand. And just in the last week, there's been the pastor of the largest independent Baptist church in America fall and committed a heinous sin. But I want to tell you, my friend, that doesn't mean God's done. That just means man's flesh. Man's a sinner, and man must be always in constant grips with God and with God's Word. And with the Holy Spirit of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit tonight. Do you have an endorsement with God on your life? God, do you see God on your life? But greater than that, does somebody else see God on your life? Can somebody say, oh, I know he has spent time, or I know she spent time with God today. I can just see the writing all over them. You ever around some Christians and wonder, when's the last time they've been with the Lord? By the end of the journey of the Israelites, that same question was being asked. Matter of fact, if you'll remember, a lot of times in the Scripture, they had to ask, whose side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side? Or whose side are you on? Who are you working for? You know, it's sad when you got to ask people what side you're on. You know, the trick of the Civil War was they switch uniforms. They'd wear the enemy's uniform and attack that way. And I believe that's what's happening in America today. The Bible says that the wolves are going to come in unaware. They're going to creep in. But I want to tell you, you can know them by their fruits. That simply means know them by the signature. It's God's signature on their life. Not everybody that cries, Lord, Lord, is going to be saved. They're not all Christians. What about you tonight? Do you have an endorsement of the Lord Jesus Christ? I was going to do this, but I didn't have time. I was going to put some stickers. You know, when you get a piece of clothing, you get a piece of clothing and it tells you who it's by. Levi. You know, if you got a suit, you know, it's by Walmart. Amen. Or whatever you're wearing, you know, I like a lot of different brands, you know, and things like that. But whenever I get a suit, you know, I like this brand, I like that brand. But I get it and I check it, but I always like looking and see who inspected it. Was it number one or number two? Inspector. Amen. And I got to thinking about that. I said, you know what? On just about every fabric or every product that we have in America, it says who it's made by. But also it says who it's inspected by. And can I tell you tonight, my friend, that if you are endorsed by the Almighty God tonight, and you say, yes, I'm a child of God, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be an inspector in your life, and he's called the Holy Spirit. He's going to be checking on your life to make sure that God's writing or God's signature, God's endorsement. Hey, how many of y'all remember? Oh, I got to tell this one. Talking about Olympics, how many of you remember a guy by the name of Michael Phelps? Remember, he had a lot of endorsements, didn't he? Until he messed up. Y'all remember what happened after he messed up? You didn't see him no more, right? He didn't see him on any more commercials. Why? Because he lost his endorsement deals because of sin in his life. Now listen, I'm not saying tonight that whenever you sin, you lose God and you lose the Holy Spirit. But I want to say this, you lose God's approval on your life. God cannot approve you if you're not clean, if you're not consecrated. God can't look down and say, well, now listen, thank God for Jesus Christ. He approves. I understand that. I understand our name's written on the... But you know what? We've got to live a daily life that's pleasing to our Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit's going to be checking up on us. Can I give you this? I may have gave you this before, but if I did, just amnesia. God's the people maker. Christ is the peacemaker. And the Holy Spirit is the pacemaker. You know what a pacemaker does? Amen? You know what it does? If somebody's heart has an arrhythmia or has a different rhythm, then that pacemaker says, well, wait a minute. This heart is not beating in a normal sinus rhythm if you're here. Okay? It's not a normal rhythm. And so what does that pacemaker do? Say, oh, I got to shock it. I have actually been in the back of the ambulance with somebody with their pacemaker going off. I've also been on top of somebody and being the pacemaker for them. Amen. We don't do that no more. We put the stickers on. But we had a lady one time. She was having some heart problems and she had a defibrillator in. And I'll tell you, I was checking her blood pressure and all that. All of a sudden, poof! Whoa! What just happened? Her defibrillator just went off. It realized her heart wasn't beating right, and it shocks it back into a normal rhythm. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit sits in your life and He listens and He makes sure that heartbeat is a boom, boom, boom. Whenever you start going boom, 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 the Holy Spirit says, no, something ain't right. And what does He do? He shocks us back in rhythm. gets us back in rhythm. Why? Because God wants His name to be proclaimed throughout the world. He wants His name not to be dishonored, but He wanted to be honored because His name, what? It's a consecrated name. Hallowed be Thy name. God wants to endorse you tonight. I'd love for Pepsi to come by my house tonight and say, Mr. Wiggins, we would love to put your face on a can. Now, all we can offer you is $2 million a year. I'd say, well, I'd have to pray about that. Lord, thank you for all the money. Amen. And I would tithe $1 million to y'all, or to the church, not to y'all, heavens, to the church, to the Lord, amen. And then I'd take everybody out to eat, because that's what I like to do. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great if I went to the Wells Fargo Bank and they said, now look, Mr. Wiggins, we want to put your picture on our Wells Fargo. I'll be up there riding the stagecoach. Now what we're going to do, we're going to give you endless checking and savings for the rest of your life. Ooh, hallelujah. I'll take that deal. But you know what they're going to say? Now, Mr. Wiggins, you can't endorse nothing else. You can't, Bank of America, can't do that. City State Bank, nope, you can't do that. Federal Credit Union, nope, you got to be Wells Fargo and Wells Fargo only. Pepsi would say, if you go to Coke, the deal's a breaker. If you go over to whatever else, the deal's a breaker. And God says to the Israelites, He says, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. He says, you cannot get it, endorse another one. And I'm not going to endorse you if you endorse another God. America is steadily endorsing everything but our Lord. You know, I don't watch news. I don't listen to it because I have a temper problem and I get angry. Whenever I see what is happening in America to people that are believers in Jesus Christ. If you ever read the Christian Law Association magazine, you'll see this time and time again. This kid suspended from school for bringing their Bible. Not opening it, not proclaiming anything, but just bringing their Bible to school. Suspended. They're kicked out of these clubs. And how a woman was fired from her job because at her lunch break, she was in the break room praying over her food and was fired because of her open show of religion. Friends, I'll tell you what. The day's coming when we're going to have to say, I'm either going to stand for God or I'm not. And I promise you, you stand for God and God will stand for you. You stand and God will be beside you. Even if death comes, God will be with you. We're going to have to say, you know what? I'm a product of God. His name's all over this product. There's a song I love to listen to. It's called The Product of Love. A friend of mine wrote it up in Ohio. It's called The Product of Love, and that's what we are. We are a product of God's love. A display of His mercy. A trophy of grace. That's what we are. Tonight, who has signed your life? I'm going to tell you what, the devil's written all over my life. But I thank God He has a big eraser. Amen. It's called blood. He cleansed me from all unrighteousness. He washed me with His blood, made me white as snow, as Isaiah said. I stand before God tonight, complete. I stand before God cleansed tonight. But I want to tell you what, my fellowship with my Lord and Savior can get broken because of sin that enters into my life, because of things that enter into my life. And God says, I want to be with Israel. I want to stay with Israel. But can I tell you, my friends, God didn't always stay with Israel. Why? Because they broke their covenant with God. God never broke His. But they broke theirs with His. Why? Because God said, I'll be your God. I'll be the one that endorses you. This will be my house. This will be my people. If you'll stay faithful to me. What did they do? Well, I don't want to read for the sake of time tonight, but I do want to say this. If you read a couple of chapters over, you'll notice where Solomon does this. How heartbreaking, this beautiful place. You know, I was thinking today, on the inside of the holy place, it was laid with the timbers of Lebanon, and we know that. But it says that he overlaid all of it with gold. Now, can you imagine shiny gold? And then the glory of God coming into that place and how beautiful it must have been. And of course, the top would have been open. So God's glory, and could you imagine His glory came down and the glow of that gold was up and all the children of Israel looked and said, God's there! Whoa! Wow, what a sight. But you read a few chapters on. You read on down in the book of Kings. You'll notice that Solomon did something that was almost like he just went crazy. He started bringing in the idols of Baal. Before long, whenever his son Rehoboam took over, all of it began to change. And they began to bring in and they took out all the gold. They took it all out and they replaced it with brass. And they replaced the things of God. And they began to destroy the house of God. And listen to me tonight, is that God was not honored in that. And God took His hand off His people. And I believe that's what's happened in America. Is that God tonight is wanting to endorse your life, but it's sin. And it's because of other idols we have in our life that God's saying, I don't know if I can endorse that. How sad tonight. I want God's handwriting all over my life. I want His light to shine through me. I want to be the salt of the earth. I want to be a light of the world. Because why? Because God, He's holy. Because God, He's the one who's given me life. He's the one who is shining through my life. And I want Him to endorse my life. How's your life tonight? If we look into your heart tonight, can we see God in your heart? Can we see God in your life? If you go to work tomorrow, can they say, boy, I see old John. He's got something. He's got God all over his life. How about you tonight? Let's stand. Father, we thank You. We love You. And God, You certainly are good tonight to allow us to be endorsed by You. And God, I pray for, Lord, folks here tonight. Lord, I pray that, God, Your handwriting, God, Your light, Your glory, Lord, is in people's lives tonight. Lord, they're a chosen place. God, are they a clean place? Are they a consecrated place? Lord, tonight, if there's folks here, God, that just needs to come and maybe they need to clean out the temple. Lord, maybe there's some idols. Maybe there's some things that, God, the weight, the sin that was so easily beset us has come. Lord, help us to lay it aside tonight. I ask You to bless this invitation now in Christ's name. Amen.